Imagine a beautiful afternoon. The sun is shining and you get to enjoy it all because you just sat down on your John Deere mower. The smooth ride lets you escape into your yard. Intuitive controls make you feel like you're one with the machine. And with attachments for every season, you can enjoy it all year long. We could keep trying to put you in the moment, but to really understand what it's like to drive a John Deere mower, you just have to get in the seat. Learn more at johndeere.com/get in the seat or visit a dealer near you.
Hello, and welcome to episode 239 of Grid Talk. And today, we are here to discuss qualifying for the US Grand Prix. My name is Tom Downey, as always, and joining me this evening, this morning, whatever time it is, I'm not quite sure, we have Jawed from the Hit the Apex podcast. Jawed, how are you, sir?
Good morning, everybody. How are we?
I'm very well, sir. Thank you for asking. And alongside me is engineering marvel Owen Medford.
Good evening.
How are you, sir?
I'm marvelous.
Good. And if any of you are wondering why Owen and I are a little bit delirious, it's because it's just gone midnight in the UK and Jawed is loving every second of this. But first, just before we get going, if you enjoy this podcast, we would love it if you would take us five to leave us a five-star rating on Spotify or a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you do, you'll automatically go into our monthly draw to win a Grid Talk t-shirt from our Champion range of merch. Also, if you're one of the 72% of people, that's right, you, who are not yet subscribed to the channel, please consider helping us out with a like and a subscribe. So, it is October the 22nd, 2022. We've just had qualifying for the US Grand Prix. Just before we proceed, some news broke just ahead of qualifying. I just want to touch on it very briefly. We are very sad to announce that the founder and CEO of Red Bull, Dietrich Mateschitz, apologies if I butchered that pronunciation, has sadly passed away after a battle with illness. There were reports a few weeks ago that he was unwell, and there were some false reports that he had passed away. However, we can confirm he has sadly moved on. Owen, do you want to add anything quickly to his tenure or to his reign?
It's more that, you know, I whatever you feel about the particular division to his of his business, I've just got to say that it's very successful, and I think that most of the fields that that they operated in are greater for Red Bull for Red Bull's involvement and funding. It's one of those things. I don't think Formula One would be the same, for better or worse, I would say. But you know, I think it's obviously a remarkable man who's had a very, very clear impact on. And put Austria in the spotlight and done a great many things with the investment that they've been able to provide because of that. So, I don't think there's anyone like him, really. In that way that there won't be anyone like him again.
No, absolutely. Jawed, do you want to say anything about him just briefly?
Yeah, just, you know, like whatever you guys have already said, it's, he had a vision and he brought it together. And again, like in the 21st century for F1, we hardly saw any independent, because Red Bull, you could say, are independent in a way. Independents come in and have the success that the Trailblazers did in the, 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s and whatnot. So, you know, he is kind of like that trailblazer in the 21st century and, you know, the business that he's created, whatever ventures he's gone into, whether it was in motorsport or extreme sports and just sports in general, it's been a lot. So yeah, he's achieved quite a bit, and yeah, he'll be missed, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And all of us here at F1 Chronicle would just like to pass on our condolences to the family and to everybody else who was involved with him. But moving on to sort of perhaps something a bit more joyous to talk about, qualifying for the US Grand Prix. Jawed, Carlos Sainz, P1, baby, as he said, P1. Did you see that coming?
Well, he's been on form all weekend, you got to say. It's great to see him, like we were saying in the live chat, where did he pull out this speed from? And there you go, he's on pole position and without a grid penalty too. So I don't know if he can convert that into a race win, but it's a good it's a good result for him. And, you know, he's asserting himself over Leclerc. I think for Ferrari, basically, the remaining races are just about, you know, next year and setting up what they're going to do. And I think for Sainz, it's important mentally to try and get whatever edge he can over Leclerc, because, you know, this year hasn't been the best. And Leclerc didn't really show any signs that, you know, he is the alpha in the team. So, yeah.
No, absolutely. And I think we should remember that Sainz outscored Leclerc. I believe Sainz finished P5 and Leclerc was only P7 last year. So, you know, so perhaps it's not quite the sort of out-and-out domination that some people were expecting. But, Owen, P2 on the road, he takes a 10-place grid penalty. I believe he'll start P12. Charles Leclerc, Chucky Leckles starts ultimately P12 but finished P2. Wasn't entirely happy after his final run on Q3. We heard a couple of expletives over the radio, a couple of, I'm not sure what he said, but he evidently wasn't happy with something in his final run. How do you foresee his race unfolding tomorrow? Do you think he'll side through the field like a panther, or do you think he'll get stuck like a Haas?
I don't know. Sometimes the Ferrari seems to be able to go forwards, and sometimes it just kind of gets stuck. I think it's going to matter about, I guess, tyre conditions and things like that. You know, it's obviously not great to have the engine penalty that he's taken, and then it obviously becomes worse when, you know, you can't even out-qualify your teammate as well. There's a certain amount of, you know, I assume it's a mistake. I haven't seen, obviously, the individual onboards for it. But I'd be surprised, given the speed of the Ferrari. You know, obviously it's a smidge. It really is just a smidge above the rest. With the results of qualifying today, but you've still got it's one further place back, obviously, that he's starting it in 12th. Things can easily go wrong from there. I think if, as long as he keeps out of trouble, and things go okay, he should be able to move forwards. That you know, I wouldn't see anything, you know, a top six finish is definitely on the cards for him there, assuming everything goes well. But unfortunately, it's what if things don't go so well.
Yeah, he's got the unfortunate task of starting sort of in that midfield gaggle of cars. So, you know, so he's got to try and keep his nose clean. But yes, it'll be interesting for him tomorrow. Right, Jawed qualified P3, starts P2, and on what is arguably the quote unquote better side of the grid. The two-time champ Max Verstappen never really looked like he was sort of challenging for pole. You know, his first lap was a bit off. I believe he was on scrub softs. But he was never really sort of setting the grid alight. I mean, he had a decent middle sector, but what were your thoughts on the young Dutchman today?
I did get a little bit excited on that final run, seeing him go fastest through the middle sector. It was purple. I'm like, oh, he could knock the Ferrari off here. But ultimately, I think he'll be happy the fact that he's starting P2. It's the preferred side of the grid there. And, I mean, how often have we said on Saturdays this year that, you know, Red Bull, they're no chance in the race because they're the ones who've had the race pace all year and they've been quicker, and I'm going to expect the same thing to happen tomorrow as well, unless, you know, Sainz can manage to stay ahead out of turn one. Very doubtful given how aggressive Max can be. So I think he can pat himself on the back and say, I'm on pole position actually. So yeah, with where he is, I don't see any different result coming as a result of that, and it'll be 13 wins potentially as well to equal Michael Schumacher and Sebastian Vettel.
That is a very good point. He's obviously going for that illustrious record of the most race wins in a season. So maybe tomorrow could be one step further towards that record for him. Oh, and P4, the Mexican Minister of Defence, and one of the home favourites, certainly of this track, given the proximity to Mexico, Sergio Perez, Now, he crossed the line P4. I believe he takes a 5-place grid penalty. So he'll be starting, what, P9, if my maths is correct. He'll be in front of Valtteri Bottas, not that that's going to be an issue, and then just behind Fernando Alonso, which will be an issue. Any thoughts on Perez from today? I didn't see an awful lot of him.
I don't think anyone did. I think, he just ran his laps. There's a certain amount to Perez, obviously. He's been slightly off Max all year. I'll put it this way, his fastest timing, Checo P8, Alonso has a penalty too. Interesting. Thank you for informing me of that, Jared. I think for Sergio Perez, obviously, he's been slightly off Max Verstappen ever since they've upgraded the car, taking until, Q2 to get the same time as Max, funnily enough. So, I think there's a certain, obviously, he's slightly lacking in pace compared to him, but he's getting a new engine, and it's not really for this weekend, is it? It's for next weekend. This is the precursor, if anything. But then again, the Red Bull's fast. I think obviously there's something to be said for it. It's going to be difficult, just based on how the car is. It's got to live with other cars through the sort of second, through the first sector and the last sector. But the middle sector is obviously where it flies. I think the biggest role that Sergio Perez is going to act really is as a kind of as a roadblock for Charles Leclerc. That's primarily his role, just to prevent any kind of pincer movement that that Ferrari might be able to enact on Red Bull or Mercedes for that matter, with their slightly superior pace. So I think obviously the Silver Arrows might be counting their blessings on that one, hoping they get tangled up with each other. So I think that's something they're going to have to be careful with. But otherwise, yeah, it's a fairly solid performance, but it's just what Checo has unfortunately been resigned to at this point.
Yeah, and it's a very good point that I fully agree with you that I do feel the Red Bull are doing this engine change this weekend, so we'll have a fresh engine next weekend in front of his adoring home crowd. Because could you imagine the absolute scenes in Mexico if he did win? It's also worth noting as well that you mentioned he was battling Leclerc. Leclerc wins the head-to-head battles between himself and Verstappen for pole positions of the year, I believe, because Max hasn't got enough of an opportunity to pick up any more pole positions. But moving down to P5, P5 and P6, Jared, I'll give you these two together. We have in P5, Lewis Hamilton, and P6, crikey mate, George Russell. That's not a slight on your Australian notes, by the way. That's just because that's all Russell seems to say these days. A much improved outing for the Mercedes, I'd say. They were always sort of like within touching distance, especially Hamilton, of at some points a front row start, which we didn't think we'd be saying an awful lot this season for the Mercs.
No, and they did bring a bit of a substantial upgrade package as well this weekend. But, again, it's probably more like data gathering for next year. But I'm not going to rule them out for... I don't want to say or be bold and say, they're going to be in contention for the win. I reckon podium at the very least with the pace that they've got. I'd feel like best chance for Mercedes and for Hamilton in particular is to run a different strategy to what the others are doing. I mean, I don't know if they can pull off a one stopper or whatever. They have been quite good on their tires through the weekend, which has been great for them. So, and we could hear the commentary as well saying that, Hamilton, this is one of his best tracks, or he always seems to do quite well here. So, there's always that potential. But yeah, I'm going to be keeping an eye on Hamilton and what Mercedes are up to strategically tomorrow. Russell, he's been trailing this weekend. I think the whole hype about him earlier in the season's kind of dying off as well. So, he can have a top five finish. I don't care, to be honest. Crikey, mate. But I'm not going to rule out Hamilton for a potential podium finish, and could be in the hunt for a win as well, depending on what goes on out the front. So, yeah. Plus, you've also got two other guys coming from grid penalties up. So we'll see how that all shakes out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's not forget that Hamilton will still be starting P3 on the road, and Russell will be starting P4 because obviously Sainz and Leclerc will be dropping behind them. You know, so it's a second round lockout effectively for Mercedes. Yeah. So it's it is potentially a good option, especially if Max and Sainz's cars try and make going into turn one. But I think what is probably the biggest shock of qualifying this weekend, I can't believe I'm about to say this, Lance Stroll in an Aston Martin on merit got into Q3, and he beat a McLaren and an Alpine and an Alpine. Oh my God, what's happening? It must be these time zones, but honestly. Owen, Stroll, P7. Where do we begin?
You kind of summed it up. On merit, he's in P7. But actually, he's higher than that because he's going to get, two positions? Which means he starts P5. See, the biggest thing here is obviously that Valtteri Bottas is going to go up one place, but that's about it. But this is huge for the constructors' battle, bearing in mind that Aston Martin are breathing down the neck of Alfa Romeo, and a fifth place start. I mean, I want to say even Lance Stroll can't mess that up, but he can't mess that up. Like, if he just stays out of trouble, go around the outside at T1. Go around the outside at T1 if it's starting to look bad on the inside. He just needs to keep that kind of position. Run your race, and the potential for Lance Stroll to really flip this constructors' battle on its head by himself, assuming nothing goes wrong tomorrow, are immeasurable. It's a really good performance, and it's the kind of performance obviously it doesn't matter because it's safe, but it's the kind of performance that you really need to close out a season in. It's just one of those that makes the difference. This could be the sort of tipping point that sort of throws Aston Martin forwards. So honestly, he just needs to not mess up. That's the biggest thing. He just needs to not mess this up. But yeah, it's a great performance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the Aston Martins, certainly in other races, they've looked better in race pace than they have in qualifying pace. So, we've seen several races where they've qualified quite poorly and then really sort of come forwards in the races and pick up points on merit. So, he starts in P5. You know, they might bag a top five finish, or is there maybe a mechanical DNF or something?
Podium?
Is there
a podium on the cards?
Well, let's not get carried. Oh my God. Lance Stroll for the win. There is a distinct possibility. And, Cota has thrown us some good races. But just behind him is the Lewis McLaren of Lando Norris. Jared, P8, possibly that's maybe he could have snuck past Stroll, but he was only 0.002 seconds behind Stroll. So there was a flag papers gap in it. Or a cigarette papers gap, I should say, for people outside the UK if they don't get that slang. Yes, it's a P8. Do you think he could have got any better? Do you think, given the pace of the McLaren this weekend, or apparent lack of, that's about it?
I do not think so. Like, at one point, I was quite concerned when both Alfa Romeos were ahead of him going into Q at the end of Q2. I'm like, what, are they slower than Alfa Romeo? Not realizing that you had the Aston Martin, the Stroll ahead too. So, I don't know if they can go any quicker. I'm sure, if with a bit of luck, he could move up, and particularly with one Alpine car so far down the order and him starting ahead of Alonso, it's going to be quite important because, after the fast that was Japan and getting full points at the end of the race as well. That put Alpine back in the lead by 13 points. So it's a tall order for Lando to turn it around on his own. Let's be honest here. It's all on him to basically win them fourth in the constructors. But it's going to have to be with a good result tomorrow. So it's hard to say given the order of the grid and what Lance Stroll gets up to ahead as well.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we'll get on to his teammates and what's left of him in a moment. But P9, Fernando Alonso, he had a couple of things to say about Hamilton. I think during one of the free practice sessions, questioning Hamilton's use of mirror signal maneuver on the track. The Alpine was a strange one this weekend. I mean, obviously, if you look at where his teammate qualified, Alonso P9, bit of a sort of anomaly. He just looked like he could not quite get the car to settle, especially coming through the final sector.
Unfortunately, I never saw any footage on the car, so I'd have to take your word for it. But it's a very Fernando Alonso performance, which is driving whatever he's driving off the door handles, no matter what it is, or even if it has door handles. So I'm not surprised to see Fernando Alonso there. Obviously, he does take an engine penalty. I don't remember where that ends up putting him, unfortunately. But then again, he's holding up the fortunes of the team. It's annoying to obviously start ninth, and it's a fall in form compared to the standard places that we see. You know, I say standard, the sort of places we've become accustomed to seeing Fernando Alonso's Alpine. So it's, you know, there's a couple of places down. Obviously, he takes a penalty, but I think it's Fernando Alonso. He'll find a way to be quite high up at the end of the race, and we'll wonder why he wasn't there to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, it's by this point, it's just sort of vintage Alonso. I mean, I think you summed him up quite nicely. Running out of the top 10, Valtteri Bottas, Jared. You said it yourself. At least I think you did. It was one of you, and there's only two others of you here. That the Alfa Romeo had much improved pace this weekend, and I, for one, was certainly surprised with their pace. The last driver into the top 10s just beats Alex Albon by 0.05 seconds, give or take. The only driver into the 136 is in Q3. Obviously, he moves up one place two places because of Alonso's penalty and Leclerc's penalty. Do you think he's going to hold on to points tomorrow?
Well, he's been quite reliable. So, like, as his driving has been reliable, whether the car does the same thing remains to be seen, because we've seen quite a bit of unreliability from Alfa Romeo this season, and a bit of bad luck as well for both drivers. So, yeah, surprising to see them that far up at certain points in qualifying, and for Bottas to make the top 10. But, you know, if he hangs on, stays out of trouble, I don't see why not. He could score points. So I don't know what the situation in the championship is at the moment for Alfa Romeo, where they sit in their fight. But, you know, I think, you know, they are not comfortably clear of Aston Martin at the moment. So I think, you know, if Stroll is going to go on and get a good result, I think, you know, Bottas has got to score some points just so it doesn't allow Aston to sneak ahead into sixth, it would be. So who would have said that at the start of the year, that Aston Martin are on for sixth in the constructors? So, yeah, you know, you could then categorize that as, or you could then brand that as being all the bad luck that they've had this season with unreliability and getting caught in drama from other drivers as well. We'll get to his teammate a bit later, of course, and talk about what happened to him. But yeah, you know, even if it is one point at the end, it would still be quite crucial for Alfa, and Bottas is the man to do it.
Yeah, it's a good point about his reliability as well, because obviously they've been somewhat severely hampered by the reliability of the Ferrari powertrain. His teammate, especially, who we'll get onto it in a moment, like he said. But yeah, it'd be nice to see Valtteri back in the points because Alfa Romeo have had a bit of a barren run recently. But P11, Owain, just missing out on Q3. Alex Albon putting that Williams in a place where it quite frankly does not belong, and certainly establishing himself ahead of his newly announced teammate Logan Sargeant, pending a super license. That's a whole other conversation. Showing his teammate, this is how you drive a car, honey. Do you think he could sneak into the points tomorrow? I mean, he's going to start in the top 10 with Leclerc behind him anyway with the penalty. So,
I don't know. Obviously, you know, we've got to praise performance because the performance is astounding. You know, he's 9 places above his teammate who is starting dead last. I don't know. It's just it's surprising in a number of ways, and it's also because it's not coming from somewhere where we've seen the Williams necessarily excel. Obviously, we've seen it when you take off the downforce, it seems to be more efficient, and you get more speed out of it compared to other cars. But to say that, you know, he's qualified on the road with his lap time, you know, just barely outside the top 10. And then, you know, he's been helped by a lap deletion for Zhou Guanyu, but it's kind of ridiculous that we're seeing it at Williams in P11. As to whether he can maintain points tomorrow, I think remains to be seen. The prospects of that, I can imagine that Williams being very difficult to get past. There's not really a set of slow speed corners, I think, through that you can start varying your lines to try and get past. And if the straight line speed is anything to go by, it's going to be a bit of a pain. And Alexander Albon, who you have to give credit to, bearing in mind obviously the issues he's had in recent months at this point, I think it's going to be a difficult car to pass. I genuinely think it's going to cause some issues for some people.
Well, he showed it in Spa that he can make that Williams a blinking difficult car to get past. So hopefully we can see more of the same from him tomorrow. I mean, he is a good driver, and obviously he has experience of being, I mean, to be fair, he was qualifying the Red Bull in about the same position a couple of years ago, you know, so he's very well acquainted with that position on the grid. Difference is he's not pranging it in the barrier every weekend. But yes, I do agree with you, you know, all joking aside, I do agree with you that, you know, he'll, I don't think he's going to roll over as easily as some people may think. You know, from P11 in the Williams, or well, you know, P10 or whatever he's starting now. But just behind him, I'm losing track of who starts on where, to be honest. But starting just behind him, Jared, P12, Sebastian Vettel and Aston Martin. He seemed to struggle a bit. He had a lap time deleted in Q2. He was riding the curves a bit as well, I noticed when I was watching quali. He never really quite seemed to get a grip on the car this weekend, and also certainly not in qualifying. Dare I say it, if he'd have done that, we could have been looking at two Astons in Q3. Here's P12.
Yeah, I thought before the lap time got deleted that he was in the top 10. I can't remember now. No, you're right. I can't remember now whether he was close to that or not, but like he's in good form at the moment, and you know, scored points in the last two races, and then of course the other Aston Martin is up there in P5, or will start the race P5. So, like you guys were saying before, Albon might be difficult to get past. He's been quite staunch with his defense this year, but you know, I think we're gonna see, or we need to see, a bit of guile from Seb to put on a bit of a race, and you know, it might be an interesting battle for points. And again, maybe try a different strategy, you know, that both their cars are quite far enough apart to do different strategies to try and score the maximum. Like, as much as I don't want a good result for Stroll and Aston Martin, I want to see Seb to get some good results and score points, keep scoring points until he finishes up in a few races time. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much just his swan song now, I think, by this point. He's got a handful of races left, and he's probably ready to have a season at home with his wife and kids and all the rest of it. But it's nice to see that there's still a bit of fight in the old dog yet. Speaking of yappy little things, Pierre Gasly, P13, Owen. He got rather sassy on the radio when he wasn't able to warm up his own tyres. Because I noticed on one of his laps going into turn one, he really overcooked it going in. The Alpha Tauri, this is Alpha Romeo then, no, the Alpha Tauri just looks to be a bit of a handful this weekend. I mean, the car's been that much of the season, but it looks like guys just can't quite get a handle of the car this year. Certainly not like he was able to last year.
No, something about it has changed. Oh, well, obviously, a lot of things about have changed. But no, there's a certain amount of... I don't think AlphaTauri fully got on top or has fully gotten on top of the car for this circuit. And unfortunately, the setup just didn't work with them. I think we saw the same thing with Yuki as well. And it's just held them back a little bit from being able to extract the full car performance. I think there's... I just want to point out that obviously, you know, as much as has been focused on Red Bull, AlphaTauri is also under that Red Bull umbrella, and therefore they're going to be feeling the effects of obviously today's announcement just as much, despite the focus on one end of the grid compared to the other. It doesn't look like it's a promising start to the weekend for them, promising start to the weekend for them. You know, Pierre, I know will have tried his best, but you know, it should be easy to get the tyres to warm up at COTA. It's in Texas, and it's not like it's a circuit that you know, it doesn't have a lot of dynamic corners that you can be putting low through the tyres. So I think there is something sort of wrong with the setup. They've maybe gone the wrong direction, or it could just be one of their bogey tracks. It just doesn't seem like he's been able to get on top of it, and that's been exacerbated for whatever reason this weekend. I think the team just seems a bit far off, so it could be a long race tomorrow for them from there. And I think they need a little bit of luck to get some good points out of this.
I agree. It's just I don't think any of the teams were helped by the majority of FP2 being a tyre test either. But they didn't know what tyres they were on or the rest of it, because obviously they weren't marked. So they had somewhat limited running anyway. It's also I want to pick up on what you said as well, just very quickly about the circuit in general. It's a very abrasive circuit, so it's very, very easy for drivers, especially when they're doing warm-up laps, to overcook their tyres. So I wonder if perhaps Pierre was trying to take it a bit easy. Because I know that when Leclerc went around, he said, yeah, one lap and that's it. So maybe there's an element of him taking it a bit easy. It's not exactly cold in Texas, even in October. They shouldn't have any issues warming them up. But anyway, P14, Jared, Guan Yu Zhou, Zhou Guan Yu. I never know which way around to say it, so I just say it both ways to appease everyone. P14, that's not an accurate representation of him on the day, because that car was in the top 10, and unfortunately he got done for track limits. Rules are rules. But what does this man have to do to get some luck in Formula One?
I know. How many mirrors has he broken, or black hats has he seen? Seriously, this year has been awful for him, and said it time and time again, like, he might not have been everyone's first pick for the Alpha seat, coming into 2022, but he hasn't done anything wrong. You know, he hasn't, you know, done a what's his face from last year, Russian driver, hasn't done anything like that. So he really needs to catch a break. And when I saw him drop out of, because I knew that he had a 5-place grid penalty as well, coming into this race, when I saw his lap time deleted, him drop to P14, I'm like, oh no, now he's going to drop to P19 and he's on the last row of the grid with Nicholas Latifi. So to add further insult to injury, put salt in the wound, whatever you want to say, it's just like, oh, when can he catch a break? Poor Joe. Hopefully, I can't even say hopefully, because what can you do from P19?
Let's find out tomorrow, shall we?
Help me.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what Joe's going to be saying tomorrow. When he starts from that far back. But desperately unlucky for him. And I think he must have ignored, not saluted every single magpie he's ever walked past, I think, to get this amount of not luck. P15, Yuki Tsunoda, we talked about him when we talked about Pierre Gasly. The car's just not great this weekend, and he was a bit of an anomaly. So, to be honest, I'm going to skip past him. We've already covered it off. You covered him off pretty well. P6, do you want to say anything about him? Or?
I was going to say he's like Pierre Gasly, but slower.
Yeah, exactly. So speaking of cars that are slow, P16 and P19, Kevin Magnussen and Mick Schumacher in the Haas, respectively. I'll give you them both together, mainly because they're in the bottom five, and let's not waste any oxygen. Not exactly the home race they were hoping for. Maybe they need to fit some Stetsons or some chaps to their car to make it go quicker. I don't know.
I think they need to make their stars and stripes just even bigger. Take a leaf out of the Lone Star State's flag and the Star Spangled Banner at various points around the circuit. I've played on tennis courts that are smaller. It wasn't a great start. What was it? It was either Schumacher or. It was either Schumacher or Magnussen but one of them went round at T1, and I think that was indicative of the issue there. I don't think it's not a great start. I mean, obviously they got this new sponsor. At least they'll get paid this time compared to the last big name sponsor that they got that people had heard of. It's not a great. I don't know for the Haas. I think, to be honest, they need to go for next year. It's not. They've been needing to go for next year all season, but then again, they said that about last season. So, it's not. It's not looking like a fun time, and it looks like the heyday of the first five races have well and truly gone. They've peaked back up into that performance since, but beyond now, it's just run down the contractual obligations. And hope that they can get 9 points over Aston Martin, I guess.
Yeah, I think they, if Aston Martin continue on this trajectory that they're on, Haas may well lose that 9-point deficit. So they need to be careful, and they also need to get Mick Schumacher out of that car because he's a liability, and he's never going to be his dad. P17, Jowards, I just had to, didn't I? P17, Jowards, your homeboy, Danny Rick. I had really high hopes. I was thinking, he loves Texas. Texas loves him. Let's all have a big barbecue and whatever. Ultimately, he ended Q1 like P15. And then you just saw drivers going quicker. It's just like, oh, he's going to get knocked out. I thought Kota, he might be all right. He's always done pretty well here. He did pretty well here last year. But no, he's P17 in a McLaren, first driver into the 137s. I mean, it says a lot, really, when a driver is told that they've been knocked out in Q1 and then he just says confirmed or copy or something like that. He's just given up at this point, isn't he?
Slower than the Haas as well, like I pointed out, given that I think Haas is the only seat left available for next year. It's not going to happen anyway. Staying on the theme of his helmet, Talladega Nights, you could almost say that this is the part of the film where he's had, his form's in decline. Borat's character is, let's compare him to Lando Norris or whatever. He's doing a much better job. So is this where Ricardo now quits and becomes a pizza delivery driver? I don't think it'll be that bad. Like, it, again, every comment I make and every meme I post about his form, I do it through gritted teeth. You know, I want him to do well, but just, yeah, it looks like he's given up. And I don't know, like, that's not very appealing if you look to the future and, like, who do I want in a seat based on the results this season and the form he's currently in. It's not very appealing. So I see that risk. Yeah, sure. What's that? Magic Mike. I see that risk that people are talking about, that if he does fall off the grid, that it might be hard for him to get back in. I mean, look at Nico Hülkenberg, though potentially he might be able to come back next year with Haas, but there is a chance that once you're out, and even if you do take a reserve driver role, like, you're going to have to rely on some big names to drop out in the next year or two. I can't see him waiting 2 years to get back into F1. It has to be in 2024. Danny Kvyat, another one. There you go. So, yeah, it's a difficult situation, but it's kind of like, let's just rip the Band-Aid off and be done with it, so we don't have to keep talking about it every weekend. It would be nice if he put in a good performance every now and again, just so we have something nice to say, but it's just one thing after another, and it's like, oh, dude, you know, you've got your teammate up in the top 10 trying to win fourth in the Constructors for the team. If he was up there too, it would have been great, because, you know, to have two cars ahead of with Ocon as far down as he is as well. So, you know, again, at the end of the year, you're going to look at McLaren, will look at the reasons why they couldn't be P4 in the Constructors. Sure, they've got a horrible car compared to last year and the year before. It's not been as competitive or as, reliable at times. But then you look at the organic element in the driver, and the driver hasn't performed either. So, you know, it's all those things put together, and the driver does play a big part in it as well, as we've seen Lando and Alonso as well, the way he's driving the Alpine at the moment. He's getting the maximum out of it, considering this weekend they don't have the pace, or it's not as comfortable around this track. So, yeah, what more do you say than that?
I don't think there's much else to say. I think you summed it up really well there, Jared. Maybe a bit of a sort of passionate rant from our resident Aussie, but I'm so sorry. But yeah, it's just, I think it's just a case of just get the season done. And I think he needs a year out just to have a mental reset, because it can't be good for his mental state. You can only smile so much, and, you know, smiling is very good at hiding pain. Trust me, I know. Especially when it comes to mental pain. So yeah, so let's I think Danny Rick just needs a year out, do something in America, maybe take a year out, maybe a year out in motorsport, who knows? We'll see what he does, and no doubt he'll entertain us all on Instagram. Anywho, P18, the battle with let me try that again. P18, Esteban Ocon, racing for Alpine, obviously. He is battling with the aforementioned Daniel Ricciardo for the Constructors. Owen, bit of a stinker from him today.
Yeah, obviously we've said that Daniel Ricciardo is taking a year out. It seems like Esteban Ocon's taking a leaf out of Ricciardo's book. unseasonably bad performance. It's very odd. I didn't see any issues that he had. He's just off the pace, which is weird. I don't know if I'm hoping that maybe, you know, he had an issue or made a mistake or something like that, but that's not a, you know, he's nine places as things stand. behind his teammate. That's not acceptable fundamentally. I'm glad he's got his seat locked up for next year. Because of that. The hope is that he's got a faster car under him than he started out with. Than he's shown in this qualifying performance. And obviously that he moves forward, but assuming that that's the fastest pace he had, I guess he's, the only thing that would explain that is going sort of the wrong way on setup or something like that. But yeah, it's odd. It's odd that he's that far down, because Esteban Ocon is not a slow driver, even on his worst day. So yeah, it's weird. It's just weird that he's down there, and I hope that he makes it his way back up over the course of tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is worth noting that Ocon had some, not last week or the week before a couple of weeks ago now in Suzuka. He was, he was really pushing Hamilton, saying if you want fourth, you've got to come and take it. So he is a quick driver, and obviously, he won GP3 in 2015. And then obviously joined F1 with Manor and all the rest of it. So he's not a slow dog by any stretch. It's just not a very good day at the office for him. P19, we've already covered off Mick with the Haas in general. I think his days are numbered in F1 Showered. Do you want to say anything else about Mick or?
Not really, and no. Neither do I want to say anything about P20 because it's the perennial position for car number six.
Yeah, I got to be honest. All I was going to do was just mention BT Dubs, Latifi's P20. I wasn't even going to give him to anyone because what else is there to say? that rounds out qualifying for the. For the 2022 US Grand Prix. I'd just like to give my guests a chance to promo themselves. So first of all, Owain, who are you? Where are you? What do you do? Why do you do it? How? Where can we find you?
Oh, that's a lot of questions. Some of those I don't want to answer. I don't want to dox myself. goodness me. I do this. I am a co-host of the Grid Talk podcast. So if you want to hear some of my dulcet tones, just tune in tomorrow, I guess. That's pretty much it. Sometimes I have opinions on Twitter, and I usually retweet political things, but we'll keep that out of this. Because this is meant to be Formula One related, but that's it.
Yeah, because F1 never has anything to do with politics.
Don't know what you're talking about. Never would have anything political.
Yeah, absolutely.
In it whatsoever.
No, I'm looking at you, FIA. Yes, and Jowett, same question to you. Who, what, where, when, why?
too much. I've got my podcast, Hit the Apex, which I do after every race. Do a little review and talk that and V8 Supercars Championship as well here in Australia. You can find the links for that through Twitter at Hit the Apex Media. Also live blog for a website called The Raw. So live blog pretty much all the Grand Prix. I haven't done a couple this year, but that's due to very good reasons. So yeah, I'll be waking up tomorrow for that. And yes, let's do the predictions now.
Yeah, it's not like it's 1:10 in the morning and I forgot or anything. So just very quickly, just hit the rewind button a second. Owain, predictions, who's going to win and what's your podium?
Oh, it's Max Verstappen and then probably Carlos Sainz and then Lewis Hamilton, I reckon.
Okay. Bold prediction?
Bold prediction, Max Verstappen doesn't win.
You need to go to bed, mate. Jowett, win podium, ball prediction.
God, you did steal my top three, so yeah, I'll say Max, Sainz, and Hamilton.
And what's your bold prediction for tomorrow?
Oh, it pains me to say it, but Lance Stroll finishes in the top six.
Okay. I don't even think that's that bold a prediction, to be honest, but I actually know what Stroll it is. I recant everything I just said. And then for me, I think Carlos is going to say, "Nah, Max, honey bunny, if you want this place, you've got to come and eat my chili, if you want it." So he's going to. I think he's going to battle him out of the way.
I need to go to bed.
Wait, he has a reputation for chilies. I don't know why, but he does.
Texas make a good chili.
Oh, that they do.
That's a different kind of chili.
Yeah. Anyway, God, this is just descending into carnage now. I think Sainz will hold on to the win. I think Max P2 and Hamilton. Yeah, I'm gonna say Hamilton P3. I think he'll get a podium. My bold prediction. Both Alfa Romeos in the points.
Oh no.
Well, a girl can dream, eh? Yes.
Comeback of all comebacks.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that would be nice, wouldn't it? But yes, so thank you to everyone for listening to this absolute train wreck of a show. If you did find it amusing, insightful, I would say educational, but I don't think that's the correct word to use. You can find out a bit more about Grid Talks. We're available on YouTube, where most of our episodes are recorded live, such as this one, as well as Amazon Fire, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, Verbal, Omni Studio, and Pocket Casts. Just search Formula One Grid Talk for our back catalogue of shows with previews and reactions to qualifying and race results. Please also consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can get better mics, lights, and recording equipment. I suppose this IKEA lamp that I have next to me. And you can also get your hands on some official Grid Talk merchandise at f1chronicle.com/store. Also, please make sure you subscribe so you're the first to know when each new weekly episode is released. We'll be back soon with plenty more F1 content, namely tomorrow to review the US Grand Prix. But until then, thank you very much for listening and goodbye.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.